going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Home hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 196. We're getting close to 200. I'm Brian Shackman, along with John Senecal, who is the inspiration for Fan Base. John, how's it going?
It's good. It's good, Brian. My boy is back from college. He came home last week at the end of the week. And so I have our first weekend of teenagers back together, and you can imagine how that teenage boys is working out in the house.
So. Any fist fight? No fist fights yet?
No fist fights. Just a lot of bickering. A lot of bickering. So, but you know what? It will keep my wife on her toes during the week while I'm off in Boston doing my thing. So.
And you'll just enjoy it from afar.
But he's working. The older one has went right into work. He's like you said, your daughter's traveling abroad and studying. Mine's going right into work. So he's working for a mosquito spraying company. So he's driving around spraying yards, making really good money too. So,
it's awesome.
40 hours a week. So hopefully it all works out.
Well, listen, we're going to basically – here's today's rundown. It's going to be one of those really good, short, quick, and good pods. We have to follow up the Devers story, of course, and we'll talk a quick checkup of the Yankees. And, you know, of course, Aaron Judge is – who knows if he can sustain it, but it's pretty unbelievable. And then we'll talk about the Colorado Rockies and our good friend Clint Hurdle, who seems to be hurtling back.
Moving on up. He's moving on up.
He could be their next manager for all we know. I mean, yep. He could. So he's moved up to bench coach, and we'll talk about that. Let's start with Rafi Devers. I mean, basically, I know on the weekend he was 7 for 12. And if you include the previous game against Texas, he's like 9 for his last 15. As he basically, and I've been listening to everything. I've been listening to sports radio in Boston. I've been talking to friends. I've been reading everything I can about this story. And if you are listening to this podcast, you probably know by now that he basically, through an interpreter, came out and said he doesn't know what the GM is doing, doesn't know what he's got in for him, and he's not going to play first base. They told me he's going to hang up his glove and be a DH. And that's what he's doing. And it
the next thing you know, someone gets hurt in the outfield and they want me to play there.
Yeah, and the thing is that everyone's trying to draw this parallel with Mookie Betts, right? Mookie Betts makes even more money, but he'll play anywhere to help the team.
Different situation when he was with the Red Sox, though. Definitely a different situation with the Red Sox. I would compare this more to a Bryce Harper situation than anything, because Mookie Betts is, let's be honest, Mookie Betts is in a different category athletically than most players in all Major League Baseball, including
Rafael Devers. But I'm talking about the willingness to do it.
Well, same thing, Bryce Harper. I'm talking about a guy who could easily change positions given what he's already done, right? Bryce Harper went from outfield to first base. Devers could go to third to first, right? I mean, that's not a stretch. Mookie Betts could probably play anywhere. Probably, in my opinion, he could probably play any position.
My point is, like, Betts does whatever the team needs.
Exactly.
And Devers is not willing to do that. Now, a lot of people think that after all this dust up, he's still going to end up doing it. But my thing is, like, how hard is it to spend 20 minutes of your pregame and take ground balls and make some throws and go over, you know, I don't know, the variables of the position, what the cutoffs are and this and that? I mean, it's not that hard.
No, and what this says to me about Rafael Devers is he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to help the team. Because I would think the first thing he should have done, as soon as Cassis got hurt and knew he was out, if I was Devers, I would have been going into Cora's office and been like, you know, I want to be on the field. How can I help this team?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's exactly the point. And we've talked a lot. One of my theories on baseball is that you can actually be selfish and still be a great team player in the sense that if you just worry about your hitting and your fielding, and you don't give a crap about other stuff, if you do well, you'll help your team. Now, this is the one chink in the armor, because if you show an unwillingness to do other things other than your core competency, it shows a selfishness that actually does hurt the team. And I, you know, from an athlete's perspective, I don't understand it, because, like, I can remember from Little League and Babe Ruth, you know, I knew I couldn't pitch, but when they asked me to try, I tried. It was terrible, but I was like, why not? Just try it. And I was a lefty and couldn't do much else. So, I mean, I remember once I even had to fill in and catch for two innings, which was a disaster. But I was like, it's fun. Like, you get to, and again, I know the pros are a different level, but I just think that there's a bigger conversation to be had about the modern athlete, the modern manager, and the modern game of baseball. In Boston, people aren't just – they're blaming Devers the most, but they're also blaming Cora. They're also blaming Craig Breslow, and they're ripping the ownership for fostering an environment of entitlement. So, I mean, what's your pecking order of blame?
Well, I mean, I think it starts and stops, like, right at the top of the organization, because this whole thing was botched from the start with the Bregman thing, like, not supposedly not talking to him before they signed Bregman. We've been over that. What surprises me here is this is such a big deal that the owner flew to Kansas City to meet with him. He actually went out there to meet. Yeah. I mean, how often – you don't even hear about this guy ever talking in the press, let alone going out and flying and meeting a player. Now, granted, he is your prize player. He's your big money guy that you probably want to figure out exactly what's going on. But I think it starts with the ownership, because they obviously sign off on everything. And then now it's weird, because Breslow and Cora had a united front basically on the DH thing. And now it seems like Breslow went behind Cora's back kind of and approached him about maybe playing first base. And then the next meeting was Cora, Breslow wasn't even involved in it, right? He was not even part of it. And then he comes out afterwards and they interview him and he gives this long convoluted answer about miscommunication and blah, 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 blah. But in the grand scheme of things, you can't trade the guy because he makes too much money, right? He's putting you in a crazy position right now because he's on fire as a DH. I say in quotations, because now he can sit there and be like, hey, I'm comfortable at DH. I'm producing.
Cora basically
Why change it?
Cora said he's basically the best DH in baseball.
Right. Which he probably could be, right? Which probably is. He's a great hitter. And yeah, you're going to longevity. You're going to keep on the field. But if you're going to go a former third baseman and move to first base, not that big of a difference, right? We talked last week about Roman Anthony coming and playing first base. Big difference. Outfielder to first base. Footwork kind of the same. You'd have to learn the stretching in the bag and all that. But I think a third base could transfer to first base much easier than a guy who's never really played anything but outfield. So he needs to do what's right for the team. But I'll tell you right now, from what he said, if it's really coming out the way it came from his interpreter, what he said, he's digging in his heels. And the Red Sox have got themselves a nice little bit of drama brewing.
Yeah, I mean,
see how they figure it out.
I do agree with you that ownership is to blame. I think I don't understand why, like, Breslow was a big leaguer. Why are they so scared to confront people face to face? And that's one thing, like, I always go back to Moneyball, like, with Billy Bean. It's like, it's never comfortable. It's always awkward, and it's borderline tense, right? I mean, but you have to look somebody in the eye and say, you've been traded. You have to look somebody in the eye and say, you're not getting another contract or whatever. And so, like, I don't understand why people who have make that much money or are so powerful are still scared to approach a player and tell them the truth. And Cora, I think, is sort of, I think he's coming across as pro player, but also kind of spineless. I don't know. I ultimately it all falls on Devers. He should. I understand why he's frustrated, but he should. I love your idea of like he should have just been like, hey, I'll give it a shot. Why not?
And talk about how much more gracious he would have been with the fan base too. I mean, geez.
Yeah, and now he comes across as entitled, borderline lazy. But then he goes out and he goes 4-for-4 and 2-for-3 in successive days with 5 RBIs.
What they got to fix first base isn't working, and I don't see it working. No. So they're going to have to either go with him or they're going to have to go outside the organization. Like he said, do their job and go find somebody.
Yeah, I mean, the word was out of Boston that the interpreter actually softened his tone. Yeah. He actually was harsher, but the interpreter sort of watered it down a little bit, which I find to be stunning. But ultimately, it's just I feel bad for his advisors too, because he makes $30 million, and it's hard for anyone to relate to him not responding in a different way. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. So we got the Red Sox dysfunction, the Yankees. I mean, I don't know. I'm surprised they're not running away with the division. And they're not. So I just sort of explain that to me.
Yeah, I think it's mainly because they don't get on a run. They're winning their series, but they're not stripping off like a 7-game winning streak. So they're, again, I think, you know, they're not hitting the wins when the Red Sox are losing is basically what it comes down to, you know, unfortunately. But they are winning their series. Aaron Judge is playing out of his mind, over 400. He dipped below 400 for like a game, came back above it. When you watch him play live, games live, it's like he's playing at a different league. It's insane how much locked in and how easy it looks for him. The thing I want to point out, though, is what I'm excited about is Jason Dominguez playing much better.
What, just because he has one multi-homer game, you're all excited? Is that it?
Well, he's been playing better. His average has been going up. He's been hitting better over his last like 8 games. He has, and he's not playing all the time. You know, he's getting usually 2 days off a week or 1 day off based on the schedule. And he's the youngest Yankee to ever hit 3 home runs in a game. He's got his average up to 250. Having better at bats and plate appearance, as is Anthony Volpe. So. You know, the Yankees, it plugs along. We'll see how the bullpen, they kind of faltered a little bit over the weekend and coughed up what they could have had, a close game, but they did score a lot of runs. So, but it is Sacramento and the ball does fly out of there. So I'm not really worried about the Yankees right now.
So Aaron Judge, as of Monday, May the 12th, he's got 14 home runs, which is good, but it's not like, oh my, he's got 39 RBI. He's got 120 total bases. But this is what's crazy, besides the 409 average, because a lot of people, you know, with OPS, they don't pay as much attention to average. His OPS right now is 1274.
Yeah.
And he's got a WAR of 3.4. I mean, he's the most impactful player in the game. And
yeah, they said like over his last 450 games or something, they did a thing and he's averaging like 60 home runs, 130 RBIs. It's insane. He's really only had 2 bad months in the last like 3 years. He got April and then part of last season.
Well, the real question is, and we talked about this on my morning show, WTIC 1080, is does he start to get Barry Bonds treatment?
You know, I mean, they haven't started walking him yet, which is very – it's weird because they usually don't have anybody batting behind him that's raking. I mean, they have Goldschmidt will bat behind him sometimes. They have Bellinger will bat behind him sometimes. So they're not having a guaranteed hot hitter. Like Goldschmidt's their second-best hitter on the team. You think he'd be bat behind him, but it's not. It's a righty-righty combo that you're dealing with. So it's usually Bellinger or Chisholm or Rice. And, you know, that's – and Chisholm's been hurt. So, yeah. It's a very good point, Brian, and it's interesting that they're not doing it. And I think the reason they might not be doing it is because the guys behind them are hitting. You know,
I mean, no one likes to give away base runners and so on and so forth. But if he continues this and the games start to mean something, maybe it's because the games don't mean as much. I don't know. I think also 162. Are supposed to mean the same.
He's also having much better at bats. He is getting walks. He's laying off a ton of pitches off the page.
But they're throwing him strikes.
They aren't. He isn't getting one pitch a game like Barry Bonds did in 2002 and stuff. So, yeah, you are absolutely right.
Roy or not, the most amazing thing to me with Bonds was because Roids gives you the power, but Roids doesn't make you connect well. And, like, he would have two pitches a game sometimes and he would hit them both perfectly. Like, I mean, it was unbelievable.
And, yeah, I saw a stat the other day that said something like Aaron Judge could go 0 for his next like 75 and still be better than like half of the players in Major League Baseball. Like their average Major League Baseball player is like 240 average or something like that.
Yeah.
He would still be above that.
There are people ending a season with 14 home runs who are getting, you know, $10 million a year. So, listen, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is the Fan Base, the deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 196. You know, we have a special affinity for the Colorado Rockies because their AA affiliate is in Hartford. We had Clint Hurdle, who's now their bench coach, came on our podcast and was a wonderful dude. And so we're a little bit brand loyal. And the team, as of Monday, is 7-33. Talk about stats. I'll give you this. They're 7 wins and 33 losses. They're 19.5 games out of first place. It's not even June 1st. And they are 5-16 at home, 2-17 on the road, and their run differential is -128.
But they're only 16.5 games out of the wild card, Brian.
Okay, so there's that. I mean, are they worse than the White Sox from last year, right?
They're worse than the White Sox from last year. And I think on pace right now to win 27 games. So, like, our bet was, what, 35? You took the over, I took the under for the bucket of wings. So, and initially it started at 30. So, hopefully, if they don't hit 30, we're going to have a better talking point here at the end of the season. But, you know, they fire Bud Black and they fire their hitting coach, Mike Redman. And those guys have been there for 8 years. They have a 544-690 record. So, not good over those 8 years. The team's garbage. We talked about that. But it's not the manager's fault. Everybody will tell you that they are scapegoats in this. Yes, they're scapegoats, but after 8 years, the course is run amok, right? If it was a one-year guy, I would say, yeah, he got a bum deal. But this guy's had 8 years to be there. Even if the team sucks, you still had an eight-year run at it. I thought it was interesting. They asked Dave Roberts what he said, and this is what Dave Roberts said. He said, I don't think Casey Stengel could change the outcome of that ball club. That's not the manager's fault.
Well, yeah. I mean, managers support managers, but my thing is I'm trying to balance because I don't know what their non-divisional record is, you know, because the argument is they play in the best division in baseball. I mean, the Diamondbacks, forget about records because they play inside the division and they'd be better. The Diamondbacks could be in first place in just about any division in baseball. The Giants could be in first place in any division in baseball, and so could the Padres, and you know the Dodgers.
They're 2-12 against AL West, NL West.
Yeah. They my boss is getting my attention. I apologize. So is it because they're that bad or is it because the division is that good?
I think it's the division is that good. But again, like they're not good against any other teams, anybody else, obviously, because they've won 7 games. We've talked about this. They can't get the pitching get there. The young talent, you know, they don't get the a veteran to build around. I mean, the team's a mess, but I feel bad for the manager. They lose 21-0 to the Padres, and they gets a vote of confidence, which is, you know, like
the kiss of death.
The kiss of death, you know, grand opening, grand closing. And then the next day he wins 9-3, gets the seventh win of the season, and they fire him.
I know.
Or relieved of his duties.
Having said that, you know, Bud Black, you know, obviously we remember when we were little, he was a pitcher in Major League Baseball. He had 9 years, as you said, as a manager. I think it was his second stint as a manager. Like, he'll be able to get a job in baseball, and he's probably made enough money where it doesn't matter. But having said that, it's tough. And the truth is, deep down, he's probably relieved. Do you know how hard it is to manage a team of mid to young 20-something kids who are going to get their asses kicked every day? So, the other story is Clint Hurdle, who, you know, we know would like to get back to being a bench boss. Now he's the bench coach, which – you know, I think of Bobby Meacham, who's the manager at Hartford in AA, who still wants to be a major league manager, and he's in his mid-60s. It's probably not going to happen. He's a wonderful guy. I think he's a great baseball guy, but I don't think it's going to happen. But Hurdle, it could. Arguably, it could.
Yeah, plus he has done it before for multiple years and with the Rockies, so it wouldn't be totally out of the realm of possibility. But wait, he was like – hitting coach for a week or a week and a half, and now he's the bench coach. And like, I don't see this. I see it letting that play out over the season with Warren Schaefer, who was the third base coach, is now the manager. But could you imagine, like, after the season, being like, "Hey, congratulations, you got the Rockies job," and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, "Man, this is definitely a 1 year thing." Like, after 3 weeks, they're going to be saying, "Like, my team sucks.
I want a 3 year contract, and it has to all be guaranteed." But I do think to Clint Hurdle's, I mean, like all these guys, and Hurdle's an older guy, they all want to stay in the game, right? And to me, and just as my last point that we can go, because I know we got to get going, hitting coaches get fired way more easily than bench coaches. So I'm happy for Clint that he's in a position of relative stability in the sense that who's to say maybe Schaefer gets the job and keeps Clint, or maybe, you know, there's a new outside manager. I don't know if I doubt they'd keep Clint as a bench coach, but that's a nice place to be because hitting coaches are just like, I don't know. I think they're hired to be fired and it's a tough job.
Bench coach, you kind of sit in the shadows a little bit. You don't take all the blame.
Totally.
It's not a bad gig. Not a bad gig. It's good
anything
to see
else?
Him. No, nothing else cracking. I'm glad the weather seems to be turning around in the Northeast, man. Boy, it sucked in the last baseball wreaked havoc.
Yeah.
The kids, everything got canceled all last week. High school games, it was nuts.
Listen, New England's short season baseball, but when you have a wet spring, it's brutal. And especially, you know, I don't like baseball on turf. So people argue that's a good argument for turf, but I don't like the game on turf. So I'm glad. I'd rather have rainouts than play them on
turf.
So
Boston heads into Detroit this week, Brian, which is the number one team in baseball, record in baseball. And then they play Atlanta after that, who are surging. And the Yankees have Seattle, who are surprising everybody in the AL West. And then they play the Mets, meet the Mets. Beat the Mets, and they're gonna have Juan Soto.
It's gonna be so much fun, so much fun.
And then the Red Sox City Connect jerseys, new ones, will debut on Friday. This coming Friday.
Yeah, yay! All right, we'll talk to you guys next week, John. Thanks so much as always. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. is riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.